Thank you. Welcome to Measure Evaluation's Data Demand and Use webinar series. For those of you who are not familiar with Measure Evaluation, it is USAID's primary vehicle for supporting monitoring and evaluation efforts worldwide. This webinar is our seventh webinar in our series and is focusing on available DDU training materials that we have available. So just a few connectivity and troubleshooting issues. If you lose connectivity while you're participating in the webinar, you can re-enter the meeting room by clicking on the webinar link provided in the initial email that went out to you. If you have trouble with audio, you can refer to the conference call instructions that are in the upper right-hand corner of your screen, and you can call in and hear everything through the phone. Or you can send an email to leah.gordon@unc.edu for additional help and support. Here are a few tips for participating in the discussion. If at any time you need to communicate with us, you can raise your hand by going to the top of your screen where there's the icon of a person who's raising his or her hand, and you can click on that. That will alert us to the fact that you have a question or comment. At that point, we'll enable you mic access, and you can speak into your microphone. But you have to make sure that you enable your mic by clicking on the microphone and say enable mic, and then your microphone should turn green and you'll be able to speak. When we get to the end of the presentation, there will be an opportunity for questions and answers, and a pod will appear where you can type in questions. So you'll be able to ask us questions either verbally through the microphone or by typing them in to the Q&A box. And for those of you, if you're experiencing serious challenges with connectivity, this webinar is being recorded and will be available along with all of the other webinar series recordings at www.measureevaluation.org/DDU. So our agenda today, we already went over some of those webinar tips for participating. I'm Molly Cannon with Measure Evaluation, and I will be doing a brief overview of data demand and use. Taryn Nutley will be doing a presentation of the training materials, and then it'll come back to me where I'll go over a field application of how we have adapted and used these training materials in various contexts in Nigeria. Then we'll have opportunities for questions and answers and wrap up. So let's go ahead and get started about the background for data demand and use, because it's important to set the context for, you know, why improve data-informed decision-making? You know, what is this all about and why do we need to do it? So as most of you know, there are challenges involved in providing quality health services in the context where we work. In many countries, health programs face a high disease burden, growing populations, inadequate numbers and poor distribution of qualified health workers, and inadequate health systems to support the distribution of services. In these types of situations, it becomes extremely important to make the best use of our limited resources. The need to develop strategies, policies, and interventions that are based on quality data and information is urgent. And we'd like to go ahead and share a quote with a colleague from Nigeria, a national level policymaker. And this person says, "Without information, things are done arbitrarily, and one becomes unsure of whether a policy or program will fail or succeed. If we allow our policies to be guided by empirical facts and data, there will be a noticeable change in the impact of what we do." This statement really captures nicely why we're here today to discuss the importance of improving data-informed decision-making. Before we go into the details of our training materials, we feel it's important to have everyone on the same page regarding definitions of data demand and use and what we mean by that. In many contexts, you know, people often consider writing a report and disseminating it through an email listserv. They count that as data use. And we do not, in Measure Evaluation, consider that to be data use. It's one step in the process to achieving data use, but what we define data use is when you're actually using data that is generated from an M&E system or from a special research study, other special studies that have been conducted. When you use that data as part of the decision-making process, and that can be to monitor a program, it can be to create or revise a program or strategic plan, develop or revise a policy, to advocate for a policy or program, or to allocate resources. And sometimes the review of that data may mean you decide not to do anything. That still counts as data use. The idea here is that you're reviewing data to make a decision. And what we mean by data demand is that when decision makers, and decision makers can be policy makers, it can be program staff who actually implement programs, it can be executive boards or leadership, and it's when those types of people specify what kind of information they want and seek it out. And that's ultimately what we want to achieve, is we want more decision makers asking for data to make decisions. So I'm going to just take a minute here to go over Measure Evaluation's data-informed decision-making cycle. And I'll go ahead and get my pointer. So when we talk about improving the use of and demand for data in decision-making, we're talking about it as a cycle, and that's what's represented here in the slide. And the idea of a cycle of evidence-based decision-making starts with basic M&E systems and the collection of information. And you can see that over here on the left, including ensuring that the information is available and in a format that is easily understood by relevant stakeholders so the information can be interpreted and used to improve programs and policies. And this link here between the availability and utilization is very important, and much of what we're going to talk about today in terms of our training materials talks about how to take the information we have and really process it and make it understandable to our stakeholders so that you can go from having raw information and data and actually turn it into something that's useful. The cycle supports the assumption that the more positive experiences a decision maker has in using information to support a decision, the stronger the commitment will be to improving data collection systems and continuing to use the information they generate. This leads to repeated data use. So again, we start with the collection, availability, and utilization, and as that process continues to be successful and leading to improved health programs and health systems, that will then generate more demand for data, and so the cycle will continue. You'll note this cycle is supported by coordination and collaboration here on the outside ring in orange. This coordination is among data users and data producers, and what we mean by that is data users are the policy and decision-making people, and data producers are those who generate the information, people like M&E officers or other people involved in data collection. But we also mean coordination among the data users and data producers, but also between management systems and other organizational supports that facilitate and support data-informed decision-making. Lastly, the cycle is supported down here at the bottom by improving capacity to ensure that all individuals are equipped with the skills to collect and use data. All of these supports are critical to ensure that the cycle continues functioning to create a culture of data use. So lastly, this is my last slide here, is how do we improve data demand and use? And this is a model that we've developed at Measure Evaluation. And firstly, we want to say that it all builds on a commitment down here at the bottom and ongoing efforts to improve monitoring and evaluation and information systems. This is the foundation of all data use improvement interventions. There has to be that level of commitment. Then if we go up here to the top of our graphic, data users and data producers, identifying and engaging these data users and data producers is also important. And these two groups don't always work closely together in a typical situation. For data use to function, as we saw on the previous slide with the cycle, regular collaboration, as we saw, between those two groups is critical. And we have to make active efforts to bring those types of people together to work on improving data use. It's also important to apply the tools, build capacity, and strengthen organizational systems to support data-informed decision-making. In this webinar series, the first six sessions really focused on tool application. We went over all of the various tools that Measure Evaluation Data Demand and Use have available, and they're all available on our website. The tools are, as well as the recordings. Today's session really focuses on capacity building and provides you with resources to improve capacity in data demand and use. And lastly, we've added one more webinar to our series, which will be next Tuesday at 9 a.m. Eastern, and that will focus on organizational support. So thank you very much. I'm now going to turn it over to Tara Nutley, who's going to go into some more detail about our training toolkits.
Hello, everybody. So I am Tara Nutley, and I oversee the Data Demand and Use Portfolio of Work on Measure Evaluation. And I'm excited to be giving this seminar, webinar today, because when we talk about our capacity building materials, what they do is they really bring together kind of the core concepts, the core strategies, and the core tools that we promote as a data demand and use package. Now, what I'll first do is I will quickly mention the specific training toolkits that we have available on our measure evaluation website. Just I'll give you the titles, and then we'll go through them one by one, and I'll tell you a little bit more about them. So this first one here, Data Demand and Use Concepts and Tools, this really is the foundation of the data demand and use approach. And in this training curriculum, we talk about kind of how we approach the issue and we introduce the tools. This next training toolkit is titled Introduction to Basic Data Analysis and Interpretation for Health Programs. The next one is Integrating Data Demand and Use into a Monitoring and Evaluation Training Course. This one is very specific to the work that Measure Evaluation does, building capacity in other countries around monitoring and evaluation. The next one is titled Using Data to Improve Service Delivery, a Training Toolkit for Pre-Service Nursing Education. This one is interesting because it targets the new nurse, many of whom receive primarily clinical training in their education, which obviously is why they're there, but very infrequently do they get any substantial training on M&E and data collection, and they are in reality kind of the frontline data collectors. So this is kind of an interesting spin on some of the training materials that we've produced. We also have one titled Conducting High Impact Research, and this training package is targeted toward specifically toward a researcher. And then we have two e-learning training sessions. The first one is called Data Demand and Use, an Introduction to Concepts and Tools. It's basically the same idea. It covers the same concepts as the very first training I introduced to you. However, this one is just in an online environment. And the last one here is Data Use for Program Managers, an e-learning course. So that was just a quick introduction to what the training materials are. I'll get into detail about each one in just a minute. Before I do that, I'd like to talk about some of the guiding principles that are covered in each one of our training packages. As Molly mentioned earlier, this concept of bringing data users and data producers is really one of the foundations of what we do. These are two different disciplines. They have two different sort of cultures within those disciplines. And even if people sit in the same physical space, the same office, there's very few opportunities for interaction. And we believe that by bringing these two individuals together, you not only improve the M&E process, but you make the linkage to specifically what that data can inform. And also, the interaction with the data user to the data producer really helps to refine the information that's being collected to be more relevant to the decision-making process. So data users and data producers really is a strong theme underpinning everything we do. We also promote a team approach in our training training contexts. So by team, we mean it's very important to bring individuals who work together in the same work environment together when you are implementing these training toolkits. So for example, you would bring a team of data users and data producers. You might have two M&E professionals. You might have the project or the center director and some key program managers in that same training, perhaps about five people from the same work environment, if funding allows. So getting your users and your producers together so that when they go through the group work that we provide in our training toolkits, they're doing it as a team, They can take that experience back with them to the workplace and continue working on it when they're back at home, so that our trainings are not just a one-off sort of experience. They actually take the products of the training back home to work on them together as a team. So key element, train if possible using a team-based approach. Another guiding principle is we really focus on identifying information needs. We try not to start with the data. What data do we have? How can we use it? We try not to do that. We start with, what do you need to know? What are your key information needs to inform your upcoming decisions? So that's another guiding principle, is to try to get people away from just slogging through loads of data and really think about targeting in on what they need. As Molly also mentioned, we really like to promote thinking about going beyond making data available through a dissemination event or through some other sort of reporting, and to really move your data into use, into the decision-making environment. We also stress identifying and overcoming barriers to data use, and that's through the application and the training around our tools, specifically the assessment of constraints to data use tool. We also stress the issues of institutionalizing data demand and use, taking some of these tools and integrating them into regular functioning of your program or your facility or your area in the Ministry of Health, so that these supports can become part of the everyday functioning that brings data users and producers together to review their data in the decision-making context. And lastly, we find it very important to stress assessing and communicating your successes around data demand and use. These training approaches, the tool application, all these things we've been talking about in the webinars, they require time, effort, and in some cases, funding. So if we're really promoting something additional here, it's important that we monitor and assess the value of adding those additional elements into our work. So it's important to figure out if these additional supports really make a difference for improved data use and decision making, and then to communicate that success to our colleagues and our funders. Each toolkit has the same general elements. There are background readings that are recommended that are specific to that training topic. There's slide sets that are broken up into sessions or modules, and each slide has fully elaborated speaker notes. This was something that was really important to us, to kind of get written down in print all of the key elements that should be expressed in each slide. There's also facilitator guidance that can assist the facilitator with timing and how to implement the exercises that we provide and how to facilitate the feedback sessions, etc. There's also these exercises that are mostly done in a group setting, in your team-oriented group, and the exercises usually culminate in an action plan that that group then takes back to their work environment to implement. And then on some of the toolkits, we have sections on how they've been adapted, and we provide examples from how they've been adapted in other settings. Not every toolkit has that yet. That's something we're building as time goes on. But within each toolkit, there always is a suggestion for how you could adapt it. Specifically, if you don't have the time to implement the toolkit as we suggest. So if we suggest it's a 3-day training and you only have a day and a half, we'll give suggestions on what you can cut and how you can reduce. So let's go one by one. The first toolkit is the one called Data Demand and Use Concepts and Tools. This is the one that I mentioned is really our foundation training package. And here we're building capacity in data use concepts, approaches, and tools. So there's lots of sessions around kind of talking about a little bit of the theory behind data demand and use and the thinking, the rationale, And then we introduce all of the tools that we covered so far in our webinars, the five core data demand and use tools, and we provide guidance on how you can train around using each one of those tools. And the way we've done this in the past is we've done it in, you know, settings where people bring real life examples, and they work in their groups using the tools around a real life example, so the resulting action plan is something that they can use back in their work settings. And the target audience for this is quite broad. As I mentioned, we promote this team approach of data users and producers, so it's perfect for M&E staff, program staff of any health area, and policymakers. And it covers topics such as I mentioned, using data to inform programs, the determinants of data use, the context of decision making, understanding data and information flow, the importance of providing feedback, and linking data to action. And it covers all of the five measure evaluation, four of the five measure evaluation tools. And this is a, we recommend it be implemented in 3 consecutive days. The next toolkit is the Introduction to Basic Data Analysis and Interpretation for Health Programs. The objective here is to provide an introduction to the basic terminology, some key calculations around data analysis, data presentation, and interpretation. The specific calculations I'll get to in the next bullet here, but the primary target here is also for M&E staff and program staff. We have given this training even to directors of specific health areas. It just depends on your context and kind of the capacity of those in your context, because it is a basic course. It doesn't cover sophisticated analysis. We cover terminology in analysis, also some basic calculations, setting targets, calculating program coverage and retention, and also data presentation and interpretation. And we propose this to be conducted within 2 days. However, I've also seen it stretched out to 3 days, depending once again on how much time, the capacity of your participants, and how much time they need to do the calculation exercises. So this is basic, but very important in terms of understanding some analyses that are important to every health program, no matter what they are, it's program coverage and retention. The next toolkit is titled Using Data to Improve Service Delivery, Training for Pre-Service Nursing Education. And the audience here obviously is nurses, but I've seen it, we've discussed using it as an in-service training as well for other health professionals, social workers, and some, you know, technicians in the health facility. And here the objective is to develop an understanding of and appreciation for data use and M&E systems, and also to build skills in data use. And here we've pulled from the first 2 curricula that I mentioned. So some of the material in this curriculum is the same as the Introduction to Basic Concepts and the analysis and interpretation training. However, there are additional topics added, such as the role of the nurse in M&E and data use. Also, data quality, as the kind of primary data collector for the routine health information system, these issues of data quality are very critical for a nurse to understand. And we also discuss basic analysis and linking data to action. And the length of this training toolkit is 2 days. The next toolkit is titled Integrating Data Demand and Use into a Monitoring and Evaluation Training Course. This curriculum also draws completely, not even partially, it's completely draws from the first 2 kind of foundation modules, the Introduction to DDU and the basic analysis curriculum. And here what we do is we give guidance to those that are implementing M&E trainings on how they can integrate data use and strengthen data use within those trainings. We developed this because Measure Evaluation does a lot of M&E training around the world and was always, individuals were coming to us asking for suggestions on how to strengthen data demand and use in those trainings. And so what this module, what this toolkit does is it breaks all of the core material into modules and recommends at what point in a kind of a generic M&E training would be the best time to integrate these topics. And we also, what's interesting about this toolkit is we have a pretty elaborated session on adaptations to show you how countries have actually succeeded in doing this. And in some cases, we've even provided some slides that are not part of our kind of core slide set that have been developed for specific contexts. The next training is called Conducting High Impact Research, and this one is a little different from all of its predecessors. This one is targeted specifically to the researcher, and the objective here is to provide guidance, strategies, and job aids that can be used in the research process to facilitate the use of research results. Basically, we talk about the research process from protocol development to dissemination, and we talk about along the way what can you do at the different points to kind of facilitate the end use of your results. And we do this by first kind of walking the researcher through identifying where their research falls in the program and policy continuum. And this is a kind of a construct that we've developed, but what it does is it helps the researcher identify the end consumers of their data. So who out there in the program and policy world would be most interested in these results and would be the best position to move those results into programmatic change. So we do this through developing a communication plan and giving guidance on how to involve stakeholders throughout the research process, not just at the beginning and the end, but really kind of developing ownership and understanding of the study, how to formulate meaningful research questions, developing recommendations, and developing data use action plans. And this is intended as a one-day training. Now, what's interesting, and we'll kind of discuss this at the end, is that many of our training approaches can be used modularly. And this is one of them where if, let's say, you were in a university setting and you were conducting a Research 101 or an Introduction to Research course, you could take some of these modules and insert them within that training situation to kind of improve that training. The last two training toolkits here are in an e-learning format. The first one here is the basic data demand and use and introduction to concepts and tools that we have in slide format. Here it's an e-learning environment where you can go through, answer the questions, do knowledge checks, and take a test at the end. What's the only the difference here between the one that is available on our website is obviously it's not really intended to build skills. It's more of an introduction because you can't practice the tools in this type of an e-learning environment. It's about might take you about 2 to 3 hours to get through it, and that course can be found here at this address. It will be moved soon. Right now, we just finished piloting it, and it's in this process of moving to becoming live on the website. But if you can't find it here in a couple of weeks, if you go under the Data Demand and Use section of our website, which I'll show you in a minute, you'll be able to find it there. The next e-learning training is called Data Use for Program Managers, and this is available through the Global Health e-learning platform. And this was a course that we developed with Measure Evaluation developed with CDC and JHU. And it's a little bit similar to the first one, but it's broader it introduces tools and strategies beyond what measure evaluation does. So I believe it would be good to do them in the order as shown on this slide. The measure evaluation e-learning course first, and then the data use for program managers second. And the audience for both of these e-learning trainings are M&E staff, program staff, and policymakers and providers. And the data use for program managers course is about a 2-hour long course. So where can you find these materials? Here you'll see I have a screenshot of the measure evaluation web page. This is the home page when you follow the address indicated here. And if you, on that home page, if you go under our work, under that tab, you'll see here the tab for data demand and use as the second one. You would click on that link, and it takes you to the data demand and use page. And if you scroll down to the bottom, you'll see here the third link down is data demand and use training curricula right there. You'll also note all of the other resources we have available. There's the tools that we discussed in the previous webinars, and there's other guidance documents and publications. But here you can see the training curricula. So you would click that link, and you would be brought to this page, which if you scroll all the way down, it lists all of the different curricula that I just mentioned. Now let's look at this one. If we look at the first one here, the one that I refer to as one of our basic courses, if you click on that link, what you will see is I've scrolled to the middle of the page here. You'll see an introduction and learning objectives. But down at the bottom, you'll see the part on training toolkit components here. And you'll see that each of our toolkits has the facilitator guide link and then all the different modules that you can open up and use. And these are all the slides with the speaker notes. And then there's down here the activity handouts for the different group exercises. And in all of the measure evaluation trainings, we have many small group activities. We find that practical experience is critical for skills retention. So there's many here that are recommended. And as I mentioned earlier, they also, most of them, culminate in an action plan that can be brought home and completed. And then down at the bottom, you have the reading materials. And some of the toolkits also have a section on adaptation. So there's a quick introduction to our website and where you can find all of these things that I just quickly outlined for you. So now let's look here, have Molly give us an overview of how some of these training materials have been used specifically in Nigeria.
Thank you, Tara. So together with my Nigeria-based measure evaluation colleagues, we have been working with two universities on institutionalizing monitoring and evaluation capacity building in Nigeria. It's been a big project, and it's been going on for a couple of years. The focus of what I'm going to talk about today, though, will be on the data demand and use aspects of capacity building and how we've worked with these two institutions on bringing data demand and use into the work they're doing. So we've used and or are planning to use three of the training packages that Tara presented today, and I'll go through and share each of those with you. So the first one is how Tara went over the training toolkit for integrating data demand and use into M&E workshops or courses. And we've done a few different things, but I want to start with the premise that, you know, we believe any M&E workshop should really include some sort of data demand and use component, because the whole purpose of developing the monitoring and evaluation systems is that those information be used to make programmatic and policy decisions. So, but it's challenging, and we recognize that there are challenges, because a typical monitoring and evaluation workshop can run anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks just with all of the technical material for developing a monitoring and evaluation plan, things like going over M&E frameworks and indicator development, data sources, etc. So, you know, it takes some time to really think through and understand where data demand and use can fit into a curriculum for an M&E workshop that's already being offered. So I'm going to go over with you an agenda from a workshop that was just conducted in, actually it ended on Friday of last week at Amadou Bello University, where they include data demand and use sessions at several points throughout the workshop. And I'm going to share that agenda with you so you can see how they lay it out. Another thing that both universities, Amadou Bello University, which is in Zaria, Nigeria in the north, and Obafemi Awolowo University in Ile-Ife in the south, are both planning to do is to develop monitoring and evaluation courses that will be offered as part of their regular curriculum. And in those M&E courses, there will be data demand and use components built into the course that students will take. And then finally, at Obafemi Awolowo University, we've been working with them on developing a short-term monitoring and evaluation diploma course that would be approximately 3 months in length that will also incorporate data demand and use throughout and draws on and builds on some of the tools that we've shared over the course of this webinar series and certainly many of the theoretical aspects and importance of data demand and use. So let me go ahead and just share with you, this is the workshop agenda at Amadou Bello University for their first week. And you can see what I've tried to do, because the font is so tiny, is highlight in red where they're using data demand and use. And you can see, I'll get my arrow going here. For example, on Thursday, in the first week, that's where they introduce decision-making and strategic information. Now, sometimes at other places, you might see that done earlier in the week to really frame the whole purpose of an M&E system, but sometimes there are also constraints in terms of which faculty are available, when our measure colleagues are available to come and present some of the information. So this is where they chose to insert the decision-making and strategic information session, but it would be just as appropriate to include it earlier in the workshop. We also get around data analysis, which is built into a lot of M&E workshops, but the specific focus built into doing data analysis to answer certain programmatic questions is very important, and that becomes part of the focus of that session, of those two sessions. And then we go into week two, and you can see here there are two sessions on this Tuesday. One, they're both called Data Demand and Information Use. So it's sort of an entire afternoon that is dedicated to the various concepts and tool application around data demand and use. So they've got it, some of it in week one, again in week two, and then we also have a session on communicating and reporting M&E findings toward the very end of the workshop. So they've incorporated it several times throughout the workshop agenda. And it's very similar at Obafemi Awolowo University for their workshop that will be happening in March, though they split it up a little bit differently depending on the availability of their faculty. I wanted to talk about a more recent activity we have going on. So our current memorandums of understanding in Nigeria with the two universities are with the Department of Community Medicine and with the Department of Community Health. And that's with whom we've primarily been working on the monitoring and evaluation workshops and incorporating data demand and use. This year, we're expanding to start working with the departments of nursing sciences at both universities. And just last week, we finished a curriculum adaptation workshop. We had 11 faculty members from the Department of Nursing Sciences at Amadou Bello University. And we went through the pre-service nurse training toolkit in detail, every single slide, the different activities, with all of the nurses, with all of the faculty. And then they went through and looked at their existing curriculum for nurses, for pre-service, and figured out, and I'll share it with you on the next slide, where they think the modules in the pre-service nurse training would fit in to their existing curriculum. And then in addition to that, they're interested in pilot testing an in-service workshop with nurses in Zaria, Nigeria. So you can see how we're taking the materials that are available through measure evaluation and using them in two ways. One, applying them to an already existing curriculum and just plugging pieces and elements into their existing courses for pre-service, but then also working with existing nurses. And the workshop will likely be 2 days long and will happen sometime this summer. So I wanted to just show you, for example, the overview. I know this is tiny, so I'll go to full screen. For the pre-service nurse training, there are 6 modules. So the first module is data demand and use key concepts. Module 2 is data analysis key concepts. Module 3, basic analyses. Module 4, data presentation and interpretation. A lot of that is getting at how do you summarize the data, creating charts and graphs. Then Module 5, sharing data and information. And 6 is making data-informed decisions. And then we have these different activities, like a case study review, very helpful Excel file for walking students through how to calculate program coverage and retention and job aids, and then the linking decisions with data. That's one of our measure evaluation tools that one of our webinars already covered. But what ABU went ahead and did after we did this curriculum adaptation workshop was they went through, and in the column here, all the way to the left, you can see module. So that's the measure evaluation module, 3 and 4. You see 1 and 2, 1, 2, and 3. And then in this next column where it says level, those are their current courses they already offer. So at the 200 level, there's a biostatistics course. And then they list what the content is, and they're saying they're going to incorporate elements from modules 3 and 4 into that biostatistics course. And then for modules, for their community health nursing course, they're going to be incorporating elements from modules 1 and 2. And so you can see how this process of, it's really nice because they don't have to change everything for accreditation because the courses already exist. They can just fold some new materials into the existing courses. So I wanted to share that with you. And then finally, Tara mentioned the high impact research materials. And this is, we're in the planning phase for making this happen. But one thing we'll be doing in Nigeria will be giving the high impact research presentation to NACA, NASCAP, and other bodies who commission research, and in some cases conduct the research themselves. But it's trying to create from this high level a demand for research in the country that answers policy-relevant questions for the country of Nigeria. So we think it's very important to try to work on enhancing their orientation toward having research done that's relevant to the needs of Nigerian people. And then continuing our work with both of the universities in Ife and Zaria, we'll be doing a TOT with faculty from both of the universities. And the goal there is that then the faculty from the departments will conduct one-day symposium for faculty across all departments within their universities. And the idea here is that trying to encourage researchers to work with stakeholders, with government stakeholders, other programs, key organizations like, for example, the UN, WHO, to make the research that they're conducting ask research questions that are going to be relevant and useful as they roll out. And again, this is also planned for late spring, early summer. So that concludes the application aspect, and I'll turn it over to Tara.
Thanks, Molly. Before we do questions and answers, I just wanted to point out, you know, the examples we gave were examples of kind of this formal integration of our training materials into institutions of higher learning, which is kind of where we want to go in terms of diffusion of our materials, you know, and building capacity. But we've also used them in very different ways. So we've used them in countries within specific ministries of health as a way, more of a workshop setting, not so much as a skills building around the tools and how to use the tools, which does actually happen, but more as a way to improve a specific context of data use in a specific setting. So I've used this example in earlier webinars that we've done in this series, but you know, we did a workshop in Cote d'Ivoire with the four ministries, with different ministries in the Ministry of Health with four different ministries: Ministry of Health, Ministry of Education, Ministry of Social Welfare, and the National AIDS Coordinating Body, to get them together, to work together, to overcome barriers to data use, to improve the flow of information in their settings, to develop a framework, a data use action plan, basically, a framework for linking data with action. So we use these materials in different ways. So it can be specifically to build capacity, or it can be to address a barrier to data use, overcome that problem, use the tools, that sort of kind of setting. So I just wanted to be clear about that, that we use them in many different ways. So that said, let's open the floor for questions. So feel free to type. You see the Q&A pod. It says Q&A at the top there. Feel free to type in a question related to what we discussed, and Molly and I will be happy to answer it. So there might be a bit of a delay here as people figure out how to use the pod, put their questions in there. So if there's no questions, it's all pretty straightforward. You know where to find everything. It's all available. And this webinar will be posted on the Measure Evaluation website, if because there's two training materials, the two e-learning ones, you cannot find right now today on our website. So those addresses are in the materials that will be posted. So that there are two questions that have come through from Samuel. Says, great work, and I really appreciate your elaborate presentations. My concerns are that, number one, there is a gross focus on health-related programs. What happens to education and agricultural-related projects? Number two, can Measure Evaluation increase the number of universities they work with in Nigeria? Thanks, Samuel. Great questions. Number one, there's a reason for the focus on health-related programs. That is the focus of Measure Evaluation. We work in health. But these tools, most of them, the concepts, the strategies, the tools, can really be taken to any sector. And it's interesting you bring that up, because we will be doing that. We're embarking on a series of partnerships with different organizations right now. One of them is Catholic Relief Services, and the other is PACT, for those of you who are familiar with those two organizations. And they do, in addition to health, they do other non-health related programs like agriculture, democracy and governance, peace building, these sorts of things. And so we're going to be looking at how our tools function in those kind of areas, and we'll have experience that we can write up and talk about. And I'll let Molly answer the second question.
Yes, thank you, Samuel, for your question. Initially, just to describe, I believe before I came on board that there was consideration of even having a third university to work with in Nigeria. But because of resources and the amount of work involved in terms of bringing universities up to speed and getting people training and offering the programs, it was decided to have one in the north and one in the south. I don't think it's likely that we'll be increasing the number of universities we're working with currently, though I know, and I don't know if any of my Measure colleagues in the Washington, D.C. office who are more familiar with our health system strengthening portfolio would want to add anything to the conversation, but there is some work that we will be doing to expand outside of like the Masters of Public Health programs and Department of Nursing programs, and working more with the health information programs. So there's that reviewing of the curriculum and trying to improve and enhance the curriculum and strengthen the overall monitoring and evaluation system within Nigeria. So I hope that helps answer your questions.
Great. Thanks, Molly. We have a second question that's come in from Terry, who asks, I know these tools are designed to be used with the Ministry of Health, but for those who work at the field level, Which tool would you think would be most effective to get data to be used for planning? In terms of the design of these tools, they weren't specifically designed for a Ministry of Health setting, even though that is frequently who we do work with on Measure. So if you're interested in terms of the field level, I guess that means subnational, right? And in terms of planning, it really depends, I would say. A very effective first-time use tool to kind of spark, interest in or renewed interest in improving data use, I think, is the framework for linking data with action. It's very clear what you're trying to do. It is linear. It walks you through first identifying what your information need is. So if you have some planning decisions that are coming up, you might even know what those, decision domains are. You might need to budget out your costs around providing, voluntary testing and counseling. So you would want to know how many facilities you have that provide VCT, the basic catchment area of those facilities. You'd want to know kind of the estimated HIV prevalence in those areas. And so that's all the type of data you'd collect to inform this upcoming planning decision. So what this tool does is it helps you list out what those upcoming planning decisions are, the questions that you'd need to answer to inform that decision, and then the data you'd need to answer the question. So I think that's a great first-time tool. But it also depends. If you have barriers to accessing data around planning, then you might want to implement the constraints, assessing constraints tool, or the information flow map. If you're planning across sectors, you might want to use the stakeholder identification and engagement tool. So they're all relevant. It just really kind of depends on what you're trying to do. So it looks like we don't have any more questions. I'll just wait perhaps a couple of seconds longer to see if anybody wants to type anything in before we start to wrap up. So I'll give you a couple seconds here. Looks like that might be it. Thanks, Terry and Samuel. Now, before we close out, I just wanted to remind you all again of the Measure Evaluation website, where you can find everything we talked about today. And in the previous six webinars, you'll find the tools. And also to remind you that there is one last webinar, and that is next week, Tuesday, same time. And what this webinar will address is it'll talk in detail about how we've combined the tool application with the capacity building materials, along with working specifically with an organization to strengthen their supports, their management systems around facilitating data use. So that'll be kind of a nice way to culminate and end up this webinar series with an in-depth example and discussion of how this worked in a specific project. So join us for the last one next week at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, before we close out, I want to alert you to Data Usenet, which is a listserv that I moderate, where I announce, upcoming meetings or new publications that are available, or other resources and tools that are relevant to improving data demand and use. And also, we have moderated discussions about twice a year on that listserv, where we come up with a topic and the listserv members join in and talk and answer and discuss. And to date, we have, I think, close to 900 or 1,000 colleagues that are interested in this very topic. So it's a great way to stay connected and keep current around data demand and use. So consider joining that. I'd also like to alert you to this pod that has opened up on your screen called Closing Comments. And we would greatly appreciate it if people feel so compelled to include your name and email address in that pod. We like to follow up with people that have been exposed to our work, to ask how they've if they've applied any of the tools or the training materials and how and their experiences. So even if you don't, you don't have immediate plans to do so, please provide us with your contact information so that in the future, perhaps 6 to 12 months from now, we can follow up and see how you and if you've been using any of our resources. And here, the last slide is here's my email address and Molly's address. If you have any questions, comments about what we've presented today, you can, in the future, you can contact us if you're using our materials. We'd love to hear from you, and we're always available and willing to help and discuss. So that's it for today. We greatly appreciate your participation. Many of you whom we've seen have stuck through every single webinar. We appreciate that, and we hope that the material today was useful. And we look forward to seeing you next week. So thanks for joining us, and have a good day.